Welcome to Taking the Reins by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rems Mabote. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail? A sitting president sleeping on cash, literally. A cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail. Or even the post office operating, even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performance has dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rems by the Horns with me, Rems Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. It has been just around 30 days since President Donald J. Trump came back to the White House for his second term as leader of the free world. By now, the entire world is suffering an STI because Trump is inside. With pen in hand, Trump has been signing all sorts of presidential orders to create the world in his own image. The last 30 days or so, the world has felt the power of the orange man. He has freed the Mexicans from America. He's imposing tariffs on Canada and Mexico. And only last week, he almost throttled Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky for not wearing a suit. There can only be one evil mask in the White House. All of you must wear a suit. Just as well, the founders of America did not name it the Black House. Trump would have by now renamed it the White House anyway.
Terrible things are happening in South Africa. The leadership is doing some terrible things, horrible things. So that's under investigation right now. We'll make a determination.
And as we know, Trump has also signed into law a dispensation to allow Afrikaners to take refuge in the United States to protect them from the very horrible things that are happening here in South Africa. But why stop there, Mr. Trump? There are many other horrible things happening to many other people in South Africa. So, dear Mr. Trump, I have decided to write to you to make you aware of many atrocities happening in South Africa that I know through the stroke of the pen, you can solve once and for all. I would have loved to come personally to talk to you, but I have two challenges. I'm black and I don't wear a suit. I know these two things are very offensive to you. So I hope you read this letter, although it is slightly long. We know your ex-attention spell battles with length and logic, but I have faith. First, let me make you aware of another community of people in South Africa on whom very terrible things are happening. These are great Zimbabwean refugees who fled their country to come here for greener pastures. All with great university education and diligence are Zimbabwean brethren, have been received with disdain, and today they find themselves using their aeronautical and mathematics qualifications to work in restaurants as waiters and cleaners. I'd like to mention that most of these establishments that employ our Zimbabwean refugees are themselves owned and patronized by a lot of white South Africans whom we have offered asylum in the US of A. And when the restaurants, hotels, and game farms cannot absorb all of our highly educated Zimbabweans, we reduce them to scooter drivers, delivering goods and products on a daily basis to millions of customers, most of whom are the compatriots you have invited over to Texas and Mississippi. So traumatic has this experience been for the African brothers that lately they don't even stop at traffic lights, do not have driver's licenses, and their dilapidated motorbikes are more often than not registered to be on the road. But the good thing is that they are providing a good service for the people you dearly love. If nothing else, these two examples, Mr. President, should tug at your even non-existent heartstrings, sir. You, the lover of humanity and hater of unjust suffering, should open your heart, but more especially your borders, to give these suffering Zimbabweans a home in the USA to protect them from the shame and symbolic genocide they are exposed to by the communist government of South Africa. As you can see from the evidence I present, our brothers and sisters are not asking for much. They will be happy to settle in Vermont or Maine. But also, Mr. President, think about it. If you took Afrikaners to America, who is going to clean their houses, work on their farms, and tend to their dogs, more so that the Mexican option is out of the window? You and I know very well that those African Americans will not take care of the homes of the Afrikaners. They are cheeky, those, oops, I cannot say or use that N-word that I'm sure you and Elon Musk use when referring to black people, but you get my drift.
We're going to smoke them out. They will come out.
And then there is another group of South Africans that I think you should take with you and save them from this godforsaken country of hate. To be honest, these guys are not really South African. We call them Zama Zamas. They have a knack of occupying unused mines, stealing whatever is left underground, and when they get a chance, shoot at the police, terrorize neighborhoods, and rape a woman or two. But I know to you, and I'm sure, Musk, these are hardworking men who can withstand the hardest conditions in search for a living. Imagine, if you will, Mr. President, a man so still married to pitifully making America great again, how you can offer these Zamazamas to your MAGA farmers so that America can go back to picking cotton and becoming wealthy on the broken backs of poor black people. You will need them now that you are ostracizing everyone and may just need to grow everything at home. And then there's the small matter of the Springboks, the South African national rugby side. You see, Mr. Trump, your endangered species that you're trying to save from the racists here in the southern tip of Africa have this entitlement that they own rugby and by extension, the Springboks. If this follows the normal script, you will have to take the Springboks too, because the Afrikaners you want to save do only four things: farm, pry, watch rugby, and occasionally, win or lose, kick a black person for absolutely no reason. Problem is that the Springboks come with these nasty people who are attacking your newest besties. Among our rugby heroes are people like Captain Siya Kolisi, who comes from the same stock of a guy you may or may not know. Among our rugby heroes are people like Siya Kolisi, who comes from the same stock of a guy you may or may not have heard of, who once said this about glorious America.
And if there is a country that has committed unspeakable atrocities in the world, it is the United States of America. They don't care. They don't care for human beings. 57 years ago, when Japan was retreating on all fronts, they decided to drop the atom bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, killed a lot of innocent people who are still suffering from the effects of those bombs. Those bombs were not aimed against the Japanese. They were aimed against the Soviet Union to say, look, this is the power that we have. If you dare oppose what we do, this is what is going to happen to you. Because they are so arrogant, they decided to kill innocent people in Japan who are still suffering from that. Who are they now to pretend that they are the policemen of the world?
So, it's your call, Mr. President, because I don't see how the Afrikaners will switch to that abominable imitation of rugby that you guys call football. Our guys here prefer hookers and loose heads like themselves. And what about the dogs, Mr. President? Do you know that more than 75% of the dogs in South Africa are owned by white people? Okay, I know I made up that statistic, but fact is, dogs in this country enjoy a better life for all in white homes than they do in Mohlakeng, Kwamhlanga, or Galeshewe, where they eat leftovers and are called by other animal names like lion and tiger.
Stop walking my dog. I think that dogs are using us as the people. I think that dogs were chilling one day under a tree. They were like, comrades, why are we even hunting when we can use human beings to hunt for us while we chill and do fuck all? They're like, yeah, that's an idea. But which race can we settle with? They're like, let us try them all. Okay, they deployed 10 dogs to try and live with black people. Three days later, they came back. Hungry as hell. But no, guys, we can't stay with black people. We did not eat anything there. All we had was food tech day in and day out. They're like, okay, do not despair. Here's some food. Go back and try and live with Chinese people. One dog came back. One leg missing. Crying. We went to China looking for food. We did not know that we were food there. They're like, okay, it's fine. Sit down, Oscar, it's fine. Too soon. Yeah, he's out of prison. Leave me alone. They're like, sit down, Oscar. It's fine. Chill. They're like, okay, comrades, let us deploy more dogs. Go back and try living with colored people. Biggest mistake ever. Dogs came back swearing at everyone. You must say this, you must say that. They even started barking differently. Puss, puss. Puss, puss. Like, no, no, guys, we can't stay with colored people either. No, we can't. Like, let us try and live with Indian people as well. You know, 10 days later, the dogs come back after living with Indian people, doing that thing when they drag their asses on the floor. Because their asses are on fire. Like, no, we can't stay with Indian people either. Like, comrades, Snapele Moya. Go back, try and live with white people. 10 dogs left. And they never came back. The other dogs were worried sick. They were like, guys, what happened to our comrades? They went to look for them. They found them chilling by the pool, smoking cigars. They're like, guys, we are chilling here. We are settling with white people. White people bath us, they feed us, they put us on medical aid. All we have to do is to bark when we see black people.
Without the white people, the dogs would lose out on the promised land, sir. Take them with, I beg you. Because if you don't, this may just turn South Africa into a dog-eat-dog country. That would be cruel. At least in other lands, it is a man-eat-dog world. Mr. Trump, I do not want to call you stupid. Not because you're not, but because I fear your staggering shallowness. But if you could consider saving Afrikaners' persecution from the black government here, you have to, by extension, save everyone who is a victim of this bad government. Just a cursory glance at news sources, including those that you are about to close by taking funding from them. You will hear everyday stories of poor South Africans pooping in pit latrines, living in mud houses, drinking dirty water, and still living in darkest Africa without electricity. It is no secret that the South African government is using bad service delivery to punish the poor here. You have to agree with me that to be jobless without electricity and water, and to be forced to relieve oneself in shame, has to be worse than driving on roads with a few potholes or being required to share your school with everyone. You have to do the right thing, Mr. President, and ship to the US millions of black people who are suffering from bad service delivery, who have not enjoyed the fruits of freedom and democracy under this government. But sir, don't get me wrong. When I said ship, it was a figure of speech. I know you'd like to put millions of black people on open ships in chains with little food and send them to you to make America great again. Far from this open letter being seen as hate mail, if there is any justice left in this world, the name Donald J. Trump will never be synonymous with unfairness. Your return to the White House will be remembered as the moment America remembered one of those it bequeathed on Africa when in 1968, a young man called Kaiser Motaung came to your shores to play what you guys call soccer for Atlanta Chiefs. So inspired was Motaung that when he came back to the darkest Africa, he stole both name and logo to form his own Kaiser Chiefs. Clearly, learning bad habits from America did not start in your time, sir. But I digress. Truth is, Kaiser created a major success out of Chiefs that for four decades, with the help of judges and noisy followers, something you know very well about, dominated football here. This made people jealous, very jealous, jealous like you've never seen before. I wish I could say it in your accent. And in the last decade, very bad things happened to Kaiser Chiefs. The old man Kaiser has been taken from the club to be a sidekick of the boss of his rivals, Orlando Pirates, there by the Premier Soccer League offices. Occasionally, they bribe him with birthday gifts in brown envelopes. In the process, the club was left in the hands of his children, who, when not bickering among themselves, they buy second-hand talent, insult the fans, and have turned the club into a shadow of what it used to be. Thankfully, even you, sir, you have seen this and have committed to putting a stop to it.
I've been hearing a lot about soccer lately. Beautiful game, really beautiful. But let me tell you something. I've been watching this team, Kaiser Chiefs. Oh, Kaiser Chiefs. What a name, right? Sounds like a king or something. But let me tell you, folks, they're no kings, not even close. In fact, they're more like, well, losers, sad losers, always losing. It's unbelievable. Now, I'm sure the Kaiser Chiefs fans are upset, and I get it. I really do. It's hard to support a team that always lets you down. But hey, at least you're loyal. Not everyone can do that.
The glory days are coming back, making Kaiser Chiefs great again. As I conclude, Mr. Trump, let me declare once and for all that I, for one, even though I earn a decent living, take my number two while reading your ex-post in a lit loo, and have enough drinking water, which comes in handy with my decadent love of indulging in whiskey, would still take up the offer to live in America. I mean, if television shows are anything to go by, say, in your country, everyone is free, has a job, is allowed to prosper, and owns a gun, as long as they are not homosexual. I think I tick a few of these boxes, but mostly, I live in fear, say. Every day, I'm fearful of the opportunities this country has to prosper and free itself from the chains of aid and terror from rich nations like yours. I live in fear that this country, with a few right moves, can move itself from unnecessary poverty and become one of the best countries in the world. Mr. Trump, I live in fear that this country has embraced non-racialism, even though some among us who still want to live in a white South Africa. So say, please free me. Take me to America. Rather than being on the wrong side of the law, I'd rather drive on the wrong side of the road. Rather than enjoy 12 months of sun and warmth in South Africa, I want to withstand the bitter cold and sickness that comes with living in places like Alaska. Please take me. Mr. Donald J. Trump, please make Rams great again.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the award-winning Taking the Rams by the Horns. Download the MySowetan app and listen to more of my podcasts. We are also on Spotify and Iono FM. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Or better still, let me be your MC, keynote speaker, or moderator at your next event. It is the only thing I do better than satire and sarcasm. Remember to buy and read my book, The Sweetest Taboo, available at your nearest bookstore. From me, Rams Mabote, goodbye and God bless.